The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Hello, and welcome to the Wrestling to the Max 205 Live review for May 2nd, 2017. And just like if you heard on the SmackDown show, I am not your host tonight. That will be Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And taking my spot tonight is Mr. Harry Broadhurst from Wrestling Unwrapped.
Evening, everyone.
So these two will discuss it all about 205 Live, including that main event. So, guys, take it away.
So we opened the show with Neville getting a sort of highlight package about what happened at Payback and his interactions with TJP on Raw the previous evening and talking about the Austin Aries problem and how TJP pretty much murdered Austin Aries' knee. And so... there's all that done in a nice little package. And then we get Lince Dorado taking on TJP to capitalize on that, which TJP does win with the submission, the knee bar here in about 7 minutes or so. This was fine. I enjoyed TJP. He looks like a heel. He acts like a heel. It works much better for him, I think, than his face run did. Granted, I don't think he's all that interesting yet. He's much more entertaining.
He dabs like a douche.
He does. Perfect heel.
Corey Graves hates him for it, and frankly, you can understand why. But in all sincerity about the match itself, though, good to see Lince back on television. Been a while. I get the idea behind the TJP character here. First of all, what the hell is with calling him TJP? Like, that's like the most WWE thing they could have done there. It's probably so they could trademark it, right?
I would think so, but you know, it's just like it's. You said it's the most WWE thing they could do, so why not do it? Any way they can make names shorter, the better.
Yeah, I remember when people were coming up from NXT losing first or last names. Now apparently he's lost his entire name; he's just three initials.
Right.
Anyway, the match itself is okay. I did like the fact that they had TJP go after the mask like a good heel should. Mm-hmm. I think when you wrestle a luchador and you're a heel, going after the mask is cheap heat, but it's good heat, especially to the traditional 205 Live crowds who, let's be honest, don't usually care about the show.
Right.
So something like that is a quick way to get quick heat, so I approve of that. The finish makes sense with TJ kind of using a similar circumstance into pulling his way into the heel bar. Mm-hmm. And... do you think the end game here is TJP challenging Neville, or do you think that it's just going to end up going along the lines of Neville using TJP to keep challengers away?
That is seemingly the game plan as of this moment, right? Is because we finally got to see that happen on Raw, where the relationship was finally exposed for seemingly what it is, and that Neville is lumping TJP in with himself and his problems and using him to sort of deal with everything while he baits a cruiserweight title shot in front of him until it either turns against him or he finally does it and they play it off or whatever like that. So, I mean, I think eventually this will work out in TJP's favor to get a title shot, but no telling how long it's going to take.
Just as importantly here, by the time it happens, will people still care?
I think that depends on the quality of Neville's feuds, because I mean Neville is money right now. He's probably the most underappreciated and undervalued act in the WWE right now, just because it's so good. And there's a reason he's going to be holding on to the cruiserweight title for a long time, because I don't see him dropping it to Aries or to really anybody unless Mustafa Ali really takes off soon. So,
The prediction that I made when we were discussing this after the Payback pay-per-view, you can go back and listen to myself and Patrick's review here on the W2M Network. The prediction that I made was that he was going to end up dropping it to Akira Tozawa. So obviously, mm-hmm. The stuff with Aries has to run its course still. So
I would be okay with Tozawa too. He's got the crowd interactions at least, because anytime he does anything, they're usually into it. So I'm fine with that. And his feud with Kendrick's been okay, which we get some highlights of that later, which we'll get to. But as far as just sort of wrapping up TJP and Neville's relationship in a nice little bow, like, do you see TJP going back to face after all this is over, or maybe he just sort of goes off on his lonesome once he realizes that Neville's sort of been using him?
I think that he kind of ends up in tweener territory, where he's not really a face, he's not really a heel, he's just kind of there in the division. And I think mm-hmm. that's kind of the best thing that could happen to him, because he's not a great babyface, and most of his heel stuff that I've seen throughout his career has been him as the pawn of somebody else, so I'm not sure that he'd be able to stand on his own as a heel either.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody out there listening is familiar with Evolve, obviously his work with Catchpoint, him having Stokely Hathaway as his manager helped him stay infinitely entertaining and very relevant in that promotion. So if they ever decide to stick another mouthpiece on him here or something like that, I feel like that could do a lot for him, because he looks like a heel down to the bone. So
maybe he could join the Titus brand.
I would be surprisingly okay with that.
Anything that keeps Titus O'Neil out of the ring, I'm okay with.
Yeah. I think that you might be disappointed there. It looks like that might be a tag team, but you never know. You never know. Corey Graves then interviews Brian Kendrick about his issues with Tozawa, and Kendrick says that he feels insulted by him. They used to be friends. They had a relationship in Japan. He was his mentor. That's all he ever wanted to be, and Tozawa sort of throwing it all back in his face. So Tozawa eventually, after hearing enough of Kendrick insult him, comes out and literally just kicks him as hard as he can right in the face, and it's awesome. And then Tozawa tells him that the next lesson is to always end interviews with an impact. If you catch his pun there.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah.
I don't have the website up, but if I did, I'd play the little rim shot.
It would have been appreciated, but alas, we'll have to make do.
I think I did well enough on my own. I think so. I think that the entire feud here, Tozawa kind of got forced into this feud once Tajiri got hurt and then left the company.
Right.
So for them kind of making do with the feud at hand they have here, they've actually done a pretty decent job of scripting it going forward. I obviously think Tozawa's meant for bigger and better things in the Cruiserweight division, as I pointed out earlier, but this is a perfectly fine use of a guy like Kendrick in the Cruiserweight division.
Right. Kendrick has sort of become gatekeeper for the division after holding the title, and essentially anytime you're in a feud with him or you're beating him, you're pretty much being primed on your way up to the next level, which is the title picture. So I Tozawa is in that line somewhere. Just depends on how much longer they're going to string this out some more.
He's X-Pac when you were coming into the WWF back in the 90s.
Right. Right, right, right. Kane was in this role for a little while, too, back in the mid-2000s. Then we get this really fun matchup between Mustafa Ali and Drew Gulak, who have obviously been feuding as Drew Gulak campaigns to make 205 Live a safer place by not wanting people to take unnecessary risks. And that plays into the finish very wonderfully here, as Mustafa Ali goes up for a frog splash. Gulak catches him with some knees and rolls him up very quickly afterwards to sort of sell how much you really shouldn't be flying around Gulak. And then he gets a promo afterwards where he continues to blame the fans for encouraging Ali to go to the top rope and for everybody else in 205 Live to fly around the ring. And it caught Ali here, and that's the mistake, and that's why he's better.
We were talking about this off the air before we transitioned from SmackDown into 205 Live, and that was one of the things that we were both mentioning, is that it reminds us a lot of Gulak's work with the campaign to make CZW, the campaign for a better CZW. And it finally seems like in harnessing the charisma that he showed while doing that campaign for a better CZW, they're finally making Gulak relevant in 205 Live. Because let's be honest, the dude is dull as dishwater if he doesn't have a purpose. But you right. give him a purpose, and you give him something that he can sink his teeth into, he's fantastic in the ring, and he's a surprisingly underrated promo when he has something to work with.
Mm-hmm. I think he's a great in-ring storyteller, too, which I don't know if there's a lot of in 205 Live. And I think that's one of the reasons why Gulak got signed, is because of that ability that he has. So I'm looking forward to seeing how far they're going to take this. Me and Gary and Sean have talked on here about maybe this ends up turning into a little bit of stable from them, because they keep teasing a relationship with Tony Nese from time to time between the two. So having him join up and sort of faction warfare in 205 Live, I think, would be a nice way to keep things fresh and give you good matchups every week instead of having to focus on singles competition every week.
I would really enjoy a Drew Gulak and Tony Nese against Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander match.
That would be phenomenal, but Cedric needs to make sure his leg is all in one piece before we get to that.
Well, yeah, we got some time before Cedric comes back. But speaking of Cedric...
Yeah, let's... we have Rich Swann and Noam Dar go one-on-one here in what honestly might be the worst match I've ever seen on 205 Live. Too long. These guys weren't connecting. There were so many super obvious botches, and there were a few cool moments in this, but it was not enough to really make you get invested or entertained, and it just turned out to be a long, boring, messy affair.
Do you ever listen to Bruce Pritchard's podcast?
Not enough, unfortunately.
Conrad Thompson asked Bruce Pritchard what would happen once when guys would come back from the ring after having an obviously bad match. And they'd see the agent or Vince, depending on who was there, give them the finger to come over and talk to them about what went wrong. Yeah, I can guarantee you those two guys got the finger when they got back through the curtain after that.
I wager you'd be correct. And it's not, I don't know if they were just having a bad night or if Noam Dar just hasn't quite transitioned over to working the indie style to this sort of style. Because the British wrestling scene is all he's ever known. And he's never been that kind of guy who looks like he could transition all that easily like Jack Gallagher was.
I don't think we can make that argument, though, because Dar was a standout performer in the Cruiserweight Classic.
He had good matches in the Cruiserweight Classic, but he wasn't one of the guys everybody was really talking about, though, throughout it. And it's not to take... I think Noam Dar is a fantastic worker. I've seen a lot of his work in Progress and some other promotions around the UK, ICW, for example, too. So I know he can work, but since he's gotten into the WWE, and certainly as far as 205 Live goes, like, he's really yet to capture my attention in the ring, but he's done a fantastic job, I think, on promos. So I don't know. It's just, something's not connecting for him here.
I would argue that outside of Neville, he probably has the best persona on 205 Live right now.
I mean, characters are sort of few and far between right now, but most of your heels are pretty established. You know, Dar is a good example. Brian Kendrick's a good example. I mean, Rich Swann is a fairly established personality too, but to say a lot of these guys outside of Neville are really nailing it is, it might be stretching it for me. Some of them are very good, but I don't know if anybody is on, you know, the King's level, so to speak.
Well, Aries, but Aries has been gold pretty much since he started wrestling, so...
Right. Somebody who was born for this.
Yeah. To think they turned him down for Tough Enough a couple of years ago, huh?
It's insane. But, you know, that was TNA's gaining at the time.
Back to this match, though. We also talked about this a little bit off the air here, and I'm going to raise the exact same point I raised off the air there. You know who comes out of this looking like the biggest star on 205 Live?
Alicia Fox.
Because, of course, she freaking does.
What Harry is referencing is Alicia Fox comes out after the match is over, and seeing as Noam Dar finally won a match, she's all ready to be all kissy face with him again. So they get back together.
Or they seemingly get back together. He jumps into her arms, X-Pac China style.
Well, you know, whatever. They seem to be on the mend. How about that?
Yes. The relationship is recovered from its rocky stretch.
Yes. Go ahead.
Just real quick. Yeah, agreed with you. Probably the worst 205 Live main event since the series started.
Yeah, this was not very good at all, really. And, I, you know, I, I don't mind Alicia Fox around here. Her and Noam Dar work well together. I think their act is
She's a good heater for him because I think most of the casual WWE fans have no clue who the hell he is. Right. Whereas Alicia's an established personality in the WWE universe, and I use air quotes even though you can't see them. But Alicia's an established personality in the WWE universe, so she lends a bit of credibility, I guess, in Vince's or in creative's eyes to whatever storyline she happens to be involved with these quote-unquote indie geeks.
I mean, that's fair. I'll say that she gets heat really easily every time she comes out on screen, and whether that's go-away heat or just because they legitimately don't want to see her or whatever kind of heat you want to make up for her, she gets it.
Well, here's the thing. The opposite of love isn't hatred. The opposite of love is indifference. The crowds are very rarely indifferent towards Alicia Fox.
That's true. I mean, that pretty much covers 205 Live. It's not a fantastic week as far as wrestling goes, but there's some fine storytelling here. We're building to different things. That main event just leaves a really bad taste in your mouth.
All right, scale of 1 to 10 it, Paul. What do you got?
I think 5.5, 6, somewhere in there, and that might be being generous.
That's being very generous. I'm at a 4. To me, best thing to come – I really – and just real quick, I'll let you expand on yours here, but I'll expand on mine real quick first.
Go ahead.
The reason I give it a 4 is because, to me, the only really good thing to come out of tonight's episode – was the campaign for a better 205 Live. Drew Gulak finally got to shine in his in-ring persona with the new gimmick that he's been portraying there. And in my opinion, with the absence of Neville, because Neville's obviously getting ready to go over to Europe with the NXT brand, so no Neville for these shows. With the absence of Neville, Gulak is the most standout character of the bunch tonight. And he put in my opinion, the best performance in the ring as well.
Absolutely. I enjoyed the Tozawa Kendrick stuff. The opener I thought was fine as well. TJP needs these victories to make sure he stays relevant in all this. The only downside is that terrible main event, which really takes this down a whole bunch. So it's just like SmackDown. It's not an exciting show this week, and that main event leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But I think everything up to that point was fine.
We'll see what they do when they have the advantage of being able to pre-tape next week and then air it on a delay after taping in England next week. So we'll see what they'll be able to do with that.
Yeah, and we got those WWE UK tapings coming up too for that new series on the network. So lots of stuff to look forward to as the WWE adventures abroad.
Is Sean still with us so that way we can put a nice little tidy bow on this?
Yeah. I certainly hope so.
I am here. So, yes, right. These guys, of course, just finished giving you their 205 Live thoughts for this week. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And then, you know, you can give us a subscribe on wherever you listening to us. And, hey, make sure you check out that W2Net.com as well for anything that things that aren't wrestling and things that are wrestling. And, hey, if you're a New Japan fan, they have a show that's starting in about 3 hours. So, there's that, too. But until next week, when we'll be talking about more 205 Live, we'll see you later, everybody.
Have a good one, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.